Shall we begin?
We're holding over here in Parshas Chayesara, now Mashiach Matters class, Parshas Chayesara, when Rivka is coming to meet Yitzchak. So last week we learned the significance of Ayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basada, that Yitzchak went out to daven in the field. And we learned that Yitzchak was davening for the exile, davening for the Golus. Sada is referring to the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach, to daven for this situation, for the Zman, for the time of the destruction. And, hold on. Yeah. And Lifnois Erev. So we learned a few Pirushim in Lifnois Erev, towards evening, which means during the time when it gets dark for the Jewish people, which is the time of Golus. Or as we learned last week, Lifnois Erev means to shoo away the darkness, to Lefanois, to clean away. Yitzchak came to be Mamtik the Dinim. He saw the harshness of Golus and he wanted to. But then we learned last week the Piddush of the Abderav, which was very special, Vayisa'enav, and he lifted his eyes higher. Yitzchak had a hechedekuk, he had a higher look. Vayarani saw, he saw all the reward. Gamal means the gemila that comes from the galus. So he saw that the galus has a deeper meaning and a higher cause. And as a result of that, he made peace with the fact. He understood that the gemul that's going to be in the end is going to be make it worth all the suffering. But we learned last week, Vatisa Rivka. Rivka is the Shechina. She lifts her eyes, Vateidas Yitzchak, and she sees the harshness of the Golus, because Yitzchak is Dinim, judgments. Vatipar Mayala Gomel. She falls off from the Gemul. She's not maskim. That's going to be very, very good. Like the famous story with the Ruzhiner, that the Cholent is going to be much, much better. The Tzimis is going to be much better if it's cooking for an extra few hours. But Soif Kol Soif, Medachingerik, how long can you wait? Doesn't make any sense to wait so long. And she says to the Eved, Mio Ish Halazeh, who is this man? He's going against us because he is accepting this Golus and he's willing to tolerate. Mitzad Gevuris above, he's willing to tolerate because he sees the end is going to be good. So he's hoylech likraseinu against us because we want to, the Shechina is saying, we don't want the suffering. We want the suffering to end. This is my master. So the Shechina realizes that she can't fight City Hall. And if this is the ultimate Kavana, so she wraps herself in the Tza'if, which is she decides that she has to dress herself in the concealment of Golus, Vatiskas, and she, so that she can enter the Golus with the Yidden and be with them during that time. That's what we learned last week. In any case, I wanted to continue a little bit on this idea that Yitzchak raises his eyes and he sees Gemalim. But this idea that Gemalim comes from the word Gemul, this idea, it's the idea that the Shechina realizes that she has to go along in Golus. So when she covers herself, means she covers, and Shechina in Golus is in a manner of concealment. Shechina is hidden. The Eberster is hidden in Golus, but he's with us. And that's the idea of that the Shechina joins along into this Indian. Just give me one second here because I forgot to put this on call block. And I'm getting a lot of disturbances. Okay. Shine. All right. Now, we mentioned the idea that Gemalim Boim, that Gemalim comes from the word Gemul or Goimel. So there's one of the things I saw over here. It's an interesting. It says that Yitzchak goes into the field, which I mentioned before. The field is the exile, and he's looking. The Magala Amukha says that he's looking into the Golus. He's looking for what kind of tikkunim he can do to help the exile. And he looks lifnois erev. He looks to the very, very, very end of the Golus, the evening of the Golus itself. Like the Rebbe would always say, that the very, very darkness that happens at the very, very, very end right before Mashiach comes. So he's looking. Because Rabbi Pashtis, you ask a question, he lifts his eyes and he sees the Gemalim, but he sees camels coming. He sees Rivka's coming. This is his wife. How come suddenly Rivka's not here? And all he's seeing is camels coming. Rabbi Pashtis is because he's looking at a distance. And from the far, you couldn't see. She's a little girl, you know. So who does he see? He sees the camels. But obviously the Torah has deeper meaning. Layers and layers and layers. Why is he seeing the camels? So the Indian is, so the Meir of Premishlan, the great Chassidish Rabbeim, the Meir of Premishlan says, that when Yitzchak looked out into the future, and he's wondering with what schus the Yidden are going to come out of the Golas. What's going to be their schus? So we know that Benegay to the all the Yidden, the world stands on three things: Al Toira, Al Avoda, Al Gemilas Chasadim. So there are three things that are established, that are a foundation, and we know that's also Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov. Avraham is the master, the founder of Chesed, of kindness, that we look out for each other and we care for each other. Yitzchak is the master of Avoda, of service, of davening and the like. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. I mean, the avoda of what we call avoda. Avoda means refinement and elevation. And then Yaakov is Torah. Yaakov ishtam yoshev ahalim. So we know that when Hashem said, we're going to say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, that means our godly connection. Elokei means dein got, your God, your godliness. Your godliness comes through Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, through these three pillars. And there are Jews that are Lomdei Torah. That's their Inyan. There are Jews who are Goyim Lechasadim, who do a lot of Gemilas Chesed. And then there are Jews who are Daveners, that are Oivdim. These are the big Oivdim. So Hashem says to Avram Avinu, I'm all three. But then Yochel, the Ebishter, says, we would think that when we finish the Bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, we would say, Magen Avram Yitzchak VeYaakov. But we know we don't say that. So the Chazal say, Yochel, we would think that you Choseim, you're going to conclude with all of them. The Ebishter says, no, B'chachoismim, with you they're going to end. So the deeper meaning, as it's explained over there, is that the Chasima of Golos, the very, very end, is not going to be through big daveners. And it's not going to be through big, big scholars. The Chasima, the merit of the generation, right before Mashiach comes, we begin with Avram and we end with Avram. Because since Avram is the cornerstone, that what germinated all of the Jewish people is the avoda of Gemilas Chasadim. So not Tchilasam B'Soifan. The very end is also going to be Gemilas Chasadim. So we take a see that Yidden across the world are Goyim L'Chasadim in ways that no one compares to. And this is true about observant Yidden. You see in different organ and communities and places that even though you have Baruch Hashem, Yidden learn Torah and all kinds of things on it, but what's outstanding across the board is the levels of Gemilas Chasadim that there are. Never in the history, I think, has there been such Gemilas Chasadim, so much work in Achnasas Kalin, Bikur Cholim, and all kinds of organizations to help people out if you get stuck in your car and you don't have your key and you don't have this, and everything is another Gemilas Chasad. There's like so many innovative ways that Yidden help Yidden. It's like unbelievable. And that's Gemilas Chasadim in the last generation. And also amongst non-observant Jews, the kindness, philanthropy, and giving, it's tzedakah v'chesed, across the world, it's Avraham Avinu. So that's what it says, that Yitzchak looked out, lefnois erev, to the very, very end. And what did he see? V'nei gmalim bo. He saw the Yidden coming back in the end of Galus, and what were they coming with? They were coming with camels, which the Indian of Gemilas Chasadim. I saw another pirush, which again, these are two pirushim that are more in the oifen of drush, which means more not simple pshat and not in the matter of Said, but an interesting pirush over here, and I don't even know from who the pre-David, I'm not exactly sure who he is. He's a malakit. He gathers, but I don't know from who he gathered this from. An interesting pirush. It's in a sense cute. Okay, let me put it this way. We know that now we're in the 3 weeks. Chazal say the first Beis Hamikdash was not destroyed. The Yidden did the three big averis, three cardinal sins: avodah zarah, shvichas damim, murder, whatever. But yet that was not the reason that was destroyed. Second Beis Hamikdash was because of a lack of avos Yisrael. But the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed al ozvam es teirasi. The Yidden had forsaken the Eibishter's Torah. So what does it mean they didn't learn Torah? So the Mefarshim say it's not that they didn't learn Torah. They had great scholars in the days of the time of the destruction of Beis Hamikdash, were big Talmid HaChacham. The problem over there was that the emphasis is Torah, see that it's my Torah. In other words, they began to disassociate the Torah from the Eibishter. It became a Torah that is was a great intellectually engaging, it was a great discipline of the mind. It was a great science, and people engaged and learned Torah because of its intellectual aspects of it, but not with the desire to be. They forgot, as a lashon of the Bachis, they forgot the noisen haTorah. They forgot that through Torah you're connecting yourself to the Eibishter. And it didn't matter even to them that the Torah was a godly thing. What important to them was that it was an inyan of seichel, and it was very intellectually stimulating. And that was the generation. Now, the question, however, is, I mean, how can a Yid separate between the Torah and the Noisen HaTorah? So to the point where there were Jews at that point, they questioned whether the Torah comes from the Eibishter, comes from Hashem. People were looking at Torah maybe as a entity that's great, but not necessarily coming from the Eibishter. Now, how do we know that Torah is divine? How do you know Torah is divine and Torah is not made up? Many Bible critics who try to prove all the time that the Torah is not divine. So one of the inyanim that it says, which is a simple halacha, that the Torah must have been coming from the creator of the world, is in the laws of kashrus. In the laws of kashrus, you have certain laws that only the creator of the world could have said it, because, for example, so one of them is the four types of animals that only have one siman. There's a gomel, and there is a neves, which is a kind of rabbit, air, and then there is a shafan, and there's a chazer. These are the pig, and four animals that have one of the two siman. And the Torah lists them. And throughout history, we've never found another animal that has one of these two siman, that chews its cut, with all the zoology and all the whatever they call it, and which our knowledge of animals never came up. How come Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned that in the Torah? That's obviously because he received the Torah from the Eibishter, and that's how. So these four animals actually prove the amitis of the Torah comes from the Eibishter. So when Yitzchak was looking out, Lifnois Erev, and a tikkun on, he was looking at the Golas, and he was looking at a tikkun to be mesakin the inyan of the Golas. So one of the inyanim that are mesakin the inyan of Golas is that Yidden should realize that the Torah is a godly entity, that it came from the Eibishter. He saw the camels. Interesting. So he brings up from a Talmud from the Chafetz Chaim, I think. From the Chafetz Chaim. It's an interesting part. When you look in the Perek Shira, in the song that all animals sing a song, say a Shira. We know every animal has a pasuk that it says. Obviously, it means the malach of that animal sings that, the source of the animal. That's his pasuk that he praises the Eibishter. So the malach, the song associated with the camel, is this song, is this pasuk. Let me read the pasuk. They're very, I'll be past this, it's their very being. Where is it over here? Oh, there's a pasuk. It's a pasuk from Yirmiyo. It says, Hashem mimoroim yishag. Hashem from on high roars, umim'oin kachoy, and from his holy abode, yitain koilo, he gives forth his voice, shag yishag al naveu. He cries out or he roars on his home that has been destroyed. Hashem mimoroim yishag. The Eibishter roars, yud shin aleph gimel. Yishag, he roars, that means the Eibishter cries for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And who makes this declaration? Who says this pasuk as his song? Is the Gomel. And as the Gomel versteht nicht, he can't understand how come the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? He says, how can, from my very existence, from my very being, from me being, he's one of the four animals, from my very being, it's clearly demonstrated that there is an Eibishter who gave the Torah is min HaShemayim. So how can you learn Torah and forget the Noisen HaTorah? How can you learn Torah and forget it? So that's why this is his Shira. He is saying that he is testimony that the Torah is given from the Eibishter, and therefore when you learn Torah, you should realize you're engaging in a godly doctrine. You're engaging in a godly document. And therefore, how can you learn Torah without that sense of you learning the Eibishter's Torah? And that's the inyan, that when Yitzchak saw Gamalim Ba'amnos, it will come a time, hopefully, and that's what Chassidus really does. That's it. And that's one of the reasons I'm l'chura making a connection in my own mind that's hitting me right now. One of the reasons why Chassidus is a preparation for Mashiach, because Chassidus brings us back to an awareness of the Noisin HaTorah. That's its emphasis. That's what one of the main accomplishments of the Baal Shem Tov to the Torah world is Lomdei Torah we had earlier. But if you learn in Kuntres Eitz Chaim, the reason why the Rebbe Rishab says so strongly that you have to learn Pnimius HaTorah, you can't just have a yeshiva that learns Nigla without Chassidus, because when you're learning just Nigla, you can learn and forget the Noisin HaTorah. But when you're learning Chassidus, it keeps on bringing back that you sense in Pnimius HaTorah, you sense the divine in Torah, the godly in Torah. So Yitzchak sees Lifnois Erev, Vine Gemalim Boim, a tikkun on the chait of what is. Okay. What I'd like to really go speak about today is, so the pasuk continues. Okay. So she covers up Rivka. And then it says how Yitzchak finally comes. Vayesapara eved li Yitzchak. The servant relates to Yitzchak as kol advarim asha'asa, everything that happened. And Yitzchak takes his wife. Vayiviyeha Yitzchak ohehela. And Yitzchak brings Rivka into her tent, into his tent. Ohehela Sarah imoy. To the tent of Sarah, his mother. Vayikach es Rivka, and then he takes Rivka. Vatihi loy leisha, she was to him for a wife. Vayeheveha, and he loved her. Vayenochem Yitzchak acher imo, and Yitzchak was comforted after his mother. So the pasuk is describing over here the actual marriage of Yitzchak to Rivka, and how he three things. First, he brings her into the tent of his mother. Then vayikach es Rivka, he takes her, as we're going to see soon. L'chura, taking her means he was makadish her with kesef, with money, with a ring. Because Chazal learned out that how do you know that one of the ways you can marry a woman, which has become the traditional way, there's three ways a person can affect a legal marriage, that a husband and wife become husband and wife, is three things. And one of them, and the preferred way, which is done, has been tradition throughout the Jewish people, throughout all of it, is to give a ring, which means to give her, doesn't have to be a ring, it has to be the value of money, which is kesef. Chazal learned out kesef, that's kicha kicha. We learned out, because it says, v'ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes a woman, yikach is like a purchase. He purchases her with money. We learn it out from Avram buying the Ma'ariz HaMachpelah with money. There it says, kicha, kicha. He paid money, so it's through money. Here, by Yitzchak, it says, vayikach es Rivka. So he took her, which means a kesef, he purchased her. And then, vatila le'isha, she became to his wife. So first of all, here's an interesting idea. The fact that he's bringing her in to the tent. Ohoy hela. Now, this tent, that Sarah's tent, which later becomes Rivka's tent, which we know, and it's interesting, Rachel and Leah never ended up, or maybe Leah came into that tent, but it doesn't say so in the Torah. It's because later, Rachel died on the way. Leah came back, but it doesn't never says that Yaakov ever went back to his mother's tent. But by Yitzchak, he's going into Sarah's tent. And we know that the Shechina dwelled in that tent. If Nesav HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lias Leidira B'Tachtayinim, if the Eibishter ever had a taiva, a desire to have a dwelling place in this world, the original place where Hashem lived in this world, after the Chet of the Eitz Adas, when Hashem left this world, L'chura, you can say, was in Sarah's tent. That's where we find that the three miracles that happened, that she lit her candles, burnt the whole week, her challah was fresh all week, like the lechem upon him, mamish like in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Anan and the cloud of glory was on her tent. So the Baal HaTurim says an interesting thing. He says the word oiha hela, you find it eight times in Tanakh. You have eight times in Tanakh the word spelled exactly like this, oiha hela, the tent. Why? Because Ashras Hashchina in the world is in eight times. In eight tents. If you go from the beginning to the end, you have eight tents. What are the eight tents that the Shechina resides in? Hold on, where's the Baal HaTurim here? Yeah. Ches b'Mesiris. There's eight. And he goes through where one is here, and in the, earlier, and then in Shemois, and then again in Shemois, three places in Bamidbar, in Yeshua, and in Shoiftim. So he says, Remez, in eight places the Shechina will dwell. Mishkan, the Mishkan in the Midbar, Gilgal, then they relocated the Mishkan from the Midbar into Gilgal, right when they came in, and for 14 years, during the time when they divided Eretz Yisrael, the Mishkan was in Gilgal. Then in Shiloh, that was the next Mishkan. Then it was in Noiv. Then it was in Givayim. Then it's the first Beis HaMikdash. Then it's the second Beis HaMikdash. And the eighth one, which eighth represents Nitzchi, is eternity, and everything is the third Beis HaMikdash that's going to be forever. So these are the eight Oyahela, and it's all rooted in this tent, the tent of Sarah, which later is the tent of Yitzchak and Rivka. So the Mittler Rebbe has a fascinating mimer, which he asked the question that I know that I mentioned earlier, that it says over here, Vayikach es Rivka, that he took Rivka. First he asks a question which I don't see how he answers in the mimer, and it seems like the mimer is upkahakt in the middle. To me, I just got a chance to look at it very briefly before the shir. So I don't see the answer, but it's a geshmaka question. He wants to know how come, number one, why, if Yitzchak why is he bringing it into his mother's tent? Bipashtis, his mother's tent would have given him a source of pain, because he's missing his mother. Taka Rivka Vayenochem Yitzchak Acharim, he says, but it's not the derech of someone to go live in his mother's house, let him set up his own family and his own place, and he'll be comforted that way much better, because now he's established his life. Why is he going back to his mother's tent? Another Indian is explaining, he's asking, how come it seems like he took her first into the tent, and then vayikacha? If anything, he should have done the kicha first, chup of a kedushin, and then bring her to the tent. Unless you say that the oyhala, that was the chup. The chup was the tent. Okay, but even then, only today's days we do chuppah and kedushin together. They used to do, in the olden days, used to betrothal, the ring was given a couple of months earlier, and then you would bring into a chuppah. But the other question that he really asks, so it's mashma, he says that he couldn't have done the kicha, he couldn't have married her only in the tent. In other words, it required that tent to be able to do the marriage. But the main question that he's really bothered with is how come you don't find by any of the other avos, the inyan that they married their wives, ayde chuppah v'kedushin. We find it davka by Yitzchak. By Avram Avinu, it says that when he speaks about marrying her, he mentions to Avimelech, he says, gam omna, what's the lashon over there? V'gam omna achoisi bas avihi. She's Taka, my sister, because he's excusing himself to Avimelech. How come he said she's my sister? She says she's really my sister. She was his niece. She's not Mamash's sister, but she's the son of her. She's the daughter of his brother. He calls her like a sister. Basavi. Vatehi li isha. She was to me for a wife. But there's no lashon over there anywhere. Vayikocheha likuchin. That he took her, which is the idea of purchasing her, which is the idea of giving kiddush. We don't find that. And by Yaakov, it also doesn't mention. By Yaakov, it also doesn't mention that Lashon. What does it say by Yaakov? There it says he worked for them 7 years. But there's no in Apipashtas work. You can say it's considered money. And he maybe they were ketanim. They were very young, so halacha is if you're marrying a minor, you give the money to the father, and the father gets the kesef kedushin. Yeah, but Rivka, the parents were back there, so he couldn't have given the kedushin. I'm not sure, but in any case, raksha asa lavan mishta. More than there's also no chuppah. It doesn't say anything. All it says is that Lavan made a party. It doesn't say there was a kikicha, and afterwards he gave Leah over to Yaakov. There it says, but that's it. There's no emphasis anywhere in the Torah that there was a kedushin, and dafka by Yitzchak there is. So he explains it obviously according to Chassidus, but it's very, very fascinating, and it's very, very special. And the deeper explanation of why dafka by Yitzchak, and another thing, how come dafka by Yitzchak does it talk about love? Vayeha veha, that he loved her. By Avram I'm sure he loved Sarah. Doesn't speak about the ava that there was between Avram and Sarah. Oh, by Yaakov and Rachel, it does say that he loved Rachel. And he worked for her. Yeah, that does say. But there's an emphasis over here by Yitzchak. So the inyan that he explains is as follows. Avram and Sarah, in their spiritual... Oh, wait. So the main idea is as follows. Kicha, purchasing, you can only purchase something that is separated from you, something that's not you. You're going out into the market, and you're finding something that you like, and you purchase it. In other words, you need to purchase something that's bedafka, not shayach to you. And now you can purchase it. And you're making what once was not yours, you're making it yours. And that's the inyan of taking. Chazal call purchasing taking. Taking something means you're taking something from the outside and you're taking it in. And therefore, it's only shayach, the idea of taking, when you're dealing with people who be'etzem are separate entities and you're purchasing them. He explains how Avram and Sarah and Yaakov and Rachel and Leah were never separated to begin with. In other words, he's marrying someone who's basically still him. Avram and Sarah are Chachma and Bina, spiritually. We're going to soon see. I'm going to try to explain it a little better in a minute. But in Avram and Sarah, there's not Shayach HaKicha, or purchasing, because L'chatchila, by them, it's emphasizing how it's one neshama. It's only that, you know, you're finding your other side of your neshama. Of course, by Yitzchak and Rivka, it's also one neshama. But Yitzchak is marrying Rivka on a level where the two have become separated and become mamish, a metzias, different than each other. The reason we get married through chuppah and kedushin, even though in essence husband and wife are one neshama, we're one neshama once upon a time in the spiritual first original sources of our neshama way up there in Atzilus. But when we are discovering each other as husband and wife, we are in two separate bodies, two different families, unrelated to each other, and we're marrying as two entities getting married. We know that at the root of that chasana, that inyan, is really one neshama. But that's not where we're encountering each other. We're encountering each other in a state of separation. And then that's where you do chuppah v'kedushin to do a purchase. Avram and Sarah are representing levels of marriage where it's l'chatchila one neshama. And the same is also Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. So let me explain what that is. In Nishmas Yisroel, which really this is all reflecting our marriage of the Eibishter. We're Knesset Yisroel is the Eibishter's wife, and Hashem is the husband. So we know that by Matan Torah was a time when the Eibishter took us, Mekadesh Amo Yisroel al Yedei Chuppah V'Kedushin. So I'll be past this, when you stand by your chuppah, what is the simple meaning of Mekadesh Amo Yisroel al Yedei Chuppah V'Kedushin? I'll be past this, it means that the Eibishter sanctified us to live a holy life. We're not living like animals that are just mating out in the street. Yidden are not stam like even like the Gentiles, who there's no true sanctity of chuppah v'kedushin. By Yidden, it's a sacred inyan. Mekadesh Am Yisrael, the Eibishter gave us kedusha by instituting to us chuppah v'kedushin, that the way we should live our lives and build our families and build our homes is through the sacred procedure of chuppah v'kedushin. That's the simple meaning. But really, you think about it deeper. No. Mekadesh Am Yisrael means the Eibishter is mekadesh us for his wife. Al yedei chuppah v'kedushin. In Vus Hatas Satan, with the marriage of Chveis, Getzel and Shendel are getting married. Vus Hatas Satan, mekadesh Am Yisrael, dei chuppah v'kedushin. The answer is, every chassan and kala getting married down here is bepnimius, the marriage of Hashem and Yidden. Because the chassan embodies the energy of the Eibishter, and the kala embodies the energy of the Shechina, which is Knesset Yisrael. And when there's a chasana of chasin and kala, the human form, what's really bepnimi is happening, the Eibishter is marrying us deeper by every wedding. Think about it. Every chasana of Yidden getting married, it's intensifying the Eibishter's bond between Yidden because it's another expression of that marriage. Mekadesh Am Yisrael. Now, the Eibishter sanctifying right now, Ayidei Chuppah V'Kedush. But where did that happen, b'oifen klali? This is every chasim. Where did it really happen in a very general way that the Eibishter is Mekadish Am Yisrael the chuppah v'kedushin? By Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the chuppah. It was a little bit of a rough chuppah. He put the mountain over the head, but it was a chuppah. And over there it was Kechasin Yaitzel the Kreskala. We learn out so many things of chasin, of chuppah from Har Sinai. The chasin comes out to greet the kala. The chasin is there first. The kala comes out towards him. This is all a reflection because it happened by Har Sinai. What's the chiddush of what happened at Har Sinai in terms of Torah mitzvahs? In Torah mitzvahs, we always learn that even though Avram Avinu did learn to read Torah and did mitzvahs before, and the Avos were Mekayim Torah mitzvahs, the chiddush that happened by Har Sinai is that we got mitzvahs begashmias in the physical world. Until that time, even though we did Torah mitzvahs, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, it was all a form of meditation. Every mitzvah that they did it in a... See, every mitzvah has a spiritual content. And when Avram and all the others, Bechlau, when they did mitzvahs, it meant that they understood the deep spiritual, mystical content of every mitzvah. And when they did the mitzvah, they were tapping into these ruchnius tigger elements, ruchnius tigger meditation, so to speak, and thereby connecting themselves. They couldn't bring Kedusha down in the physical, into the Gashmi, is the material of the physical world. They didn't. So their mitzvahs were very ruchnis. The chiddush of Matan Torah was that we connect to the Eibishter not with our neshama and not through abstract mystical meditations, but we connect to the Eibishter with our guv Gashmi, with our physical body, with our animal soul, and not only that, we pick up the physical materials of this world and we unify that with Getlichkeit and with holiness. And that's, comes out that the whole inyan of Matan Torah, why did Matan Torah have to come through Chuppah v'Kedushin, which as we said before means you're purchasing someone. Why? Because here's the thing. Because over here is when we are connecting to the Eibishter, when we are not him. See, the neshama lamaila, you take a look at a neshama, you see the neshama is getlich, al chelik alakayim amal mamish. So for a neshama in its spiritual form to connect to the Eibishter doesn't require kicha. Over there, that's not shaykh marriage, because over there, neshamas are bonem atem l'Hashem elokeichem. You're all children of the Eibishter. You're just one continuation of getlichkeit, it's a godly being. So a neshama is always connected. It's not like he's connecting to a davar nifrad, that he's taking someone who is not him and purchasing that inyan. That only happens when we come down into what's called Alma de Pruda, a world of separation. Especially when we come down to the lowest, lowest, lowest places of Alma de Pruda, which is the physical world. Because even the Ruchnistiga worlds are also, to some degree, already Alma de Pruda. They're already separated. But the real separation happens in the physical, material, Gashmias, Shebegashmiastiga world. And over here, we're living in a Nefesh HaBahamas. And our Nefesh HaBahamas, which is our ordinary consciousness, is not our neshama. We're not tzaddikim. 99% of Jewish people are not tzaddikim who live in the consciousness of their Nefesh HaLikis. We're living in the consciousness of our Nefesh HaBahamas, which is Klipas Noiga. Which Klipa means something that is other than God. It blocks and conceals and disconnects. It's a Rishus HaRabim. It's a marketplace. It's not holiness. Yet we are taking from that Rishus HaRabim and bringing it into the Eibishter's Rishus. First by us ourselves becoming Zayner. It's like when the famous story when the Alter Rebbe came out. When the Alter Rebbe came out and he heard his wife saying, the famous Hayoyim Yoyim, the Alter Rebbe came. She says, she's talking with the other woman. She says, "Meiner zakt." Mine says. So the Alter Rebbe says, "Ein mitzvah benichdainer." And with how many mitzvahs am I the Eibishter's? Right. So what does that mean? The first thing is that we become neshamas, we as full-fledged human, physical human beings belong to the Eibishter when we're makabel on ourselves to live in accordance to halacha, to Torah mitzvahs. That's a purchase. The Eibishter is purchasing something that's not godly to become godly. notwithstanding the fact that inside, deep inside of us, there is a neshama, but that's not what we're conscious of. And in addition to that, every time we grab a piece of this world and we do a mitzvah with it, it's part of that kicha, the Eibishter is purchasing. Right? So it's part of that continuation of that kicha. So now we'll understand, let's go back to Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Rivka. Avram and Sarah represent two stages. Avram, the word Avram in Kabbalah is always Avram, the exalted father. So Avram is the level of Chachma. Sarah is the level of Bina. And in Kabbalah it says that Chachma and Bina are train reyin the loy misparshin, two friends that never separate. That means Avram and Sarah's neshama was l'chatchila one and they were never separated. And that's why, Bechlam, when you see the story of Avram and Sarah, their story begins together. You don't have a story of Avram before you have a story of Avram, or before you have a story of Sarah. You immediately encounter both together all their life. So you have this little boy Avram, and then suddenly he found Sarah. It's, even though it's true that Avram discovered the Eibishter when he's 3 years old, but the story, immediately, as the Torah tells us the story, it's a couple. Because the two of them were always together. And spiritually, they represent our neshamas as we are considered children to the Eibishter. Avram would be the Eibishter. Sarah would be us. But us, as we are still in the sublime state of being totally miyuchad with the Eibishter. In that state, it's not shaykh to say that Avram is marrying Sarah, which means he's purchasing her. He's doing a kicha. He's doing it. That doesn't happen. Yaakov. We're going to say with Yaakov. Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. L'chura over here. Yaakov and Rachel and Leah. Adarabah. It says that Yaakov is... His energy is Baal, he's the world of Tikkun, of Olam HaTikkun. And he's the one who actually laid the foundations of all of Torah and mitzvahs. Yaakov is called Ishtam, he's the source of Torah. And the observance of all of mitzvahs. L'churi, Yaakov is the one who prepared the Torah more than anybody else. What? So he says an amazing thing. When Yaakov went and he married Rachel and Leah, you see that during that whole time, his main, besides having Shvatim, he wanted to build up the Jewish people, having Shvatim. But another thing you see that Avram was occupied in Lavan's house, which was really, what brings him into Lavan's house? Rachel and Leah. That's why he went there for the first place. And what is he doing in Lavan's house the whole time? He's amassing a fortune of sheep. He's building a fortune of sheep. A lot of sheep. And then from the sheep, he sells and he buys other things. But it's mainly Tzoyin Lavan, the sheep of Lavan. According to Chassidus, what was really happening over here is Tzoyin is Malashin Yetziah. The root of the word Tzoyin is Latzeis, to go out. Tzei. Tzoyin is Yetziah. And what was Yaakov doing? Yaakov was opening up all the hundreds and or thousands of channels through which Elokus should be able to go out from its concealed state and reveal itself in the world. Yaakov was building the entire communication system of the Eibishter into the world. And that's what he's doing. He's doing tzayin. For that, what needs to happen, in order for someone, so what does Rachel and Leah have to do with it? What does Rachel and Leah have to do with it? So in Kabbalah, we always know that Yaakov is the sphere of Teferis, which Teferis represents the perfection of emotions, the Eibishter's emotions. When a person has emotions, how do the emotions emerge outward and communicate it outward? How does a person's emotion, feeling, or what he feels express itself? Two ways. Machshava and Dibor. First, you have to think it. A lot of times a person doesn't have a koyach of thought. It's a very sad situation. Where you have bursting emotion, but you don't even have the clarity of thought to be able to create organized thought. That's why people go to a therapist, to help them just create the proper patterns of thought to be able to facilitate the emotions. The emotions are just all over the place. So that's, and then ultimately, what happens after you can organize your thoughts and have clear thoughts, then if you further want to express it, You write a book, you speak, you give over. So what are you doing? You're taking these thoughts and you're channeling them into speech. And that's Leah and Rachel. Leah and Rachel are both spiritually the world of words. They are both, in Kabbalah, they are the two hays of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Leah is the higher hay, and Rachel is the lower hay. Rachel is Dibor, and Leah is Machshava. That's why it says that Yaakov liked Rachel, and he didn't like Leah, because mentioned am liebzer Eden, so haben liebzer Trachten. That's what they say. It says, in Chassidim used to say that the reason why Yaakov liked Rachel and he didn't like Leah is because generally people like to talk, but they don't like to think. So that's why Rachel represents speech and Leah represents thought. But so what do you see from here? What was Yaakov doing through Leah and Rachel? He was, through their neshamas, he was able to create channels of godly light to flow into the world. And that's all of Torah mitzvahs. He created the oisius of Torah. He created every halacha. He created all these spiritual channels. They gave him the words. He poured the content into those words. But they gave him the oisius. Leah in a more spiritual world. Rachel more tangible. But yet they gave the oisius. However, here's the thing. And that's the idea that he was creating tzayin through them. Yeah, he created the shvatim. But in their house, what's tzayin? Tzayin is exiting, giving communication, giving a lukus, an ability to express itself. But we're, here's where the Mitla Rebbe says, in Atzilus. In other words, in the higher realms, up there in the Hecher HaOlamos, Yaakov Avinu was the one who expressed godliness in a gazillion different ways through all the tzayin that he made. But not here, ba'olam hazeh hagashmi, in the physical world. Who is the one who paves the way? Therefore, just like emotions and thought and speech, let's think the relationship of emotion and thought and speech. Emotion and thought and speech, thought and speech is not something you take from outside of you. It's part of you. Your thought and speech is a koyach that's meyuchid with you. And for that reason, Yaakov doesn't have to marry Rachel and Leah. In other words, he doesn't have to purchase them. Because he's not taking something from the outside and unifying. Adarabi, he's just flowing into them. He flows, he's flowing his energy, channeling into them. But he's not taking something minachutz from outside and bringing it into Kedusha. That's not happening. He's just channeling. He's the communicator of godliness from above. Yitzchak and Rivka, that's Matan Torah. It's a whole different story. The Chiddush. If you take a look, you'll find an interesting thing. In Rashi, forget about Kabbalah and Chassidus. If you learn Rashi, you see, we know that everything that happened to the children already the Avos did. So we know that Yitzchak dug wells, the three wells, those are the three Batei Mikdash. And Avram, and it shows so many things. Yaakov goes to Golos, that's the Golos. Yaakov is chased by Esav, that's Golos Edom. Everything that happens in all of history happened to the Avos. But when you look for Matan Torah, where did Matan Torah take place? In the life of the Avos, where did Matan Torah happen? When Yitzchak is marrying Rivka, he gives her the two rings, the two bracelets, which represent the Aseres HaDibros, and each one is weighing 10 because it's the ten Aseres HaDibros that are on it, Shnei Tzemidim. Matan Torah is the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. Why? Because as I mentioned so many times in these classes earlier, Yitzchak and Rivka represent the epitome of the holy of the holy and the lowest of the low coming together. Why? Yitzchak is born to parents that are holy, Avram and Sarah. Not stama they holy. Avram and Sarah already went through almost all the 10 tests. Not stam that. Avram is already after his bris milah, so he's already at the epitome of holiness. That's why he couldn't have Yitzchak before. He had to wait till after his bris. Also, as physical, it says that parents add to their children Yetzirah because of the physical element and the taiva that is associated with intimacy. But Avram and Sarah was a Canaan. There was no, their intimacy was purely getlich. There was nothing earthy and nothing unholy. There was no taiva, there's nothing there but pure godliness in Avram and Sarah. Yitzchak is born, and Yitzchak himself was after the Akedah, which he said he was already oila like an oila tamima. He became a part of the Eibishter, so to speak. His neshama went completely up. It said already that his neshama that came back into him, his neshama left him, is the neshama of La'asad Lavai. Of already, it's a Mashiach that's after Tchias HaMesim. He's the one person who lived in this world with the experience of after Tchias HaMesim. He's as holy gets. That's why we know that he wasn't even allowed to go out of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, he's an oila tamima. Rivka is coming from what? From Lavan and his house, Besuel. She's 3 years old. She hasn't even gone to seminary yet. She's married. She's gone to Chassidish seminary. Garnished. She's sitting there entrenched in Klippus and Charan and that lowly place. How long did it take for them to get married? Overnight. He plucked her. That's why the Medrash uses Kishoshana Bein HaChoichim, like a rose amongst the thorns. And that says on Yitzchak's marriage to Rivka. In other words, he's taking her from the epitome of undeveloped, she's a holy spark, but where is she finding herself? In a very unholy place. And she becomes the wife. What does that mean? She becomes, a husband and wife become basar echad, they become one entity. She becomes one without any preparation with Yitzchak, with the holiest being. Well, that's the chiddush of Matan Torah. The chiddush of Matan Torah is that we can take Gashmias physically in this world and make it one with the Eibishter in an instant. In ein minut, you do a mitzvah with something Gashmi and you're being meyachid elokus with the world. You're taking choshech, klipa, all the unholiness of the world, and you're flipping it over. That inyan, Yitzchak, and that's why they represent Matan Torah. And what did we say earlier? By Matan Torah was al yedei chupa v'kedusha. It's the yichud of the Eibishter with us as we are part of the world and as we're converting elements of the world that are from not, it's almost like the Eibishter is purchasing something that's not his. Because the way we experience ourselves and the way the world experiences itself as it, that it's not the Eibishter. It's not holy. And we're converting it into Kedusha. That's why Dafka, this marriage is done, Yitzchak and Rivka's marriage is done through a kicha, through a purchase. Because this is, and this will conclude, I want to conclude, why Dafka by Yitzchak it says, Vayaveha, that he loved her. And the Mittler Rebbe says something really, really phenomenal and really unbelievable. And that is that really in truth, Yitzchak, the chiddush why that Yitzchak loved her was that the level of Yitzchak, and I spoke about this 2 weeks ago when we had the shir that I gave and during my wife's birthday. So we had the shir here, and I spoke how Yitzchak represents the Eibishter as he's not impressed with anything. Yitzchak represents Gevura. And what's Gevura? Gevura represents someone recoiling into himself. Roimimus, exaltedness, removal. Chesed is espashtus. Chesed is expansion. So when you're being chesedig, you're flowing, you're opening yourself up to someone. Gevuradig means you withdraw into yourself and you're very, very high. So in Ergei to the Eibishter, it says that what? That hein, that the heavens and the heavens above, aloi zaku be'enav, are not justified in his eyes. Because the Eibishter finds fault, even in the most sublime, spiritual, high, elevated, even in the most godliest of things, the Eibishter finds fault in them. Because it says in that, when does Hashem have a relationship with the world? When does the Eibishter have tainug? When does the Eibishter have pleasure? When he lowers himself down to like humble himself to make this important thing. But when the Eibishter retracts into his deep, transcendental, infinite, high, removed abstraction of abstraction, that everything, nothing can find favor in his eyes. Even the biggest tzaddik, and even the highest malach, and even netzolim, even the spheroids, the attributes, are considered dark before him, unappealing before him. Well, so l'choira, Yitzchak can't love anything. If Yitzchak is representing that element, Yitzchak is so high. Everything is faulty. Everything is faulty. It's the ultimate justice. It's the ultimate din. And here is the chiddush. The chiddush is the chiddush. Torah and mitzvahs, spiritual light, ruchnistigi in yonim of Torah and mitzvahs, from the level of Avram and Yaakov, they are appealing, they're beautiful, they're nice. From the level of Yitzchak, from the transcendental state of when Yitzchak is looking, is alt ayin v'yefes. It's nothing. It's choshech. It's dark. It's meaningless. What does get Yitzchak excited? Which aspect of Yiddishkeit does Yitzchak find? In other words, does excite even the Eibishter, as the Eibishter is removed from being impressed with anything? One thing. Dafka the Baal Tshuva. Dafka the person who's struggling with darkness. Dafka the conversion of the dark elements of this world, and we use them and convert them to Kedusha. Dafka that is appealing to him. Why? Because when you're taking the dark elements that are Choshech and you flip them over to light, that causes Lamaila also the Choshech of Yitzchak. What's Choshech? The darkness. The privateness of the Eibishter, that the Eibishter, Hashem's introvertedness, that he's dark, meaning he's not revealing himself. So high, he won't give you a smile. He's so beyond and higher and higher. Dafka when you turn darkness down here to light, you cause above that Yitzchak's transcendence, the Eibishter should reveal himself from his most high inner pleasure. And he says an amazing thing. He says, that's the difference between Olam Haba and Tchias Ameis. He says, Olam Haba, as great as Olam Haba is Gan Eden, when Neshamas sit and they delight and all the delights, it's only a tiny little ray of the Eibishter. As high as it is, all the Tanugim and all the lights, it's all. But it's not the inner pleasure of Hashem's private self. Where is the Eibishter himself going to reveal himself? Tzchoik, the true tainug and pleasure, the real laughter, the real pnimiyistige, infinite, private side of God is only going to be revealed, asa li Elokim, only comes through the concealments and darknesses, which means when we, during the time of Golos, and especially be'ikvas of the Mashiach, we struggle with our own darkness, with our own doubts, with our own hardships and difficulties. We deal with a world that is so sometimes concealing and obscuring and hide. And we work our way and we pick up these treasures, begashmias, and we use another gashmias to get thing to serve the Eibishter. Dafka when we're serving Hashem from the choyshech, not. And he's mentioned, he makes the differentiation. He says, Olam Haba, Avram and Yaakov, that's shaykh to tzadikim. The Tchias HaMesim and the ultimate reward, that's dafka for us as Balei Tshuva, not as Tzaddik. And that's the ultimate translation, is when darkness is turned to light. Dafka the kicha, dafka the marriage. Yitzchak marries dafka Rivka. Dafka, that's what gives him a thrill. Everything else, all hamshachis, all inspiration, all light, which is not associated with taking something dark and converting it, is not. It's light, but it's a revelation, but it's not a revelation of Hashem himself. It's a revelation of a tiny little spark of the Eibishter, not him himself. To reveal the revelation and the light of the Eibishter himself comes dafka from Rivka, and that's why Vayahaveha, he loves her, dafka Rivka. And that's the hisgalus of Yitzchak. That's the ultimate love that Hashem has to the Jewish people. It's from our avoda, in what's called avodas habirurim, the avoda being mevarer of the world, taking in yonim. That's going to be revealed only at the coming, after Tchias HaMesim. Yechayenu miyomayim, bayoyim ha-shlishi yekimenu v'nichya lefonav. On the third day by Tchias HaMesim is when, which is the ultimate revelation, yekimenu v'nichya lefonav, we will live from this pnimius digi his galos, which is from the fact of us doing tshuva, which is the whole idea of Yitzchak and Rivka, which is that marriage.